Open your Bibles to the Song of Solomon, chapter number 8, verses number 6 and 7. I'm launching tonight from the Song of Solomon, these two verses, and then I'm going to teach on the subject that comes from these two verses. Actually, I'm not teaching on the Song of Solomon. I'm teaching tonight on something else, and we'll hit it in a few minutes. Song of Solomon, chapter number 8. Verse number 6. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is as strong as death, jealousy as cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Now here's I have a text, here it is. Many waters cannot quench love. Neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be condemned. I want you to open your Bibles now to Acts chapter 5. The book of Acts chapter 5. I'm going to read verse number 31. I'll not tie it in now, but I'll tie it in after a while. Acts chapter 5 and verse number 31. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior. Now get this. For to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. Now look at me. It says to give repentance. Now repentance is a gift from God. Says, there's another passage I'll not turn to. I think it's in 1 Timothy 2:23. Not sure about that. That teaches the same thing. Now, I'm not talking necessarily about... We think about repentance. We're always thinking about getting saved. But repentance simply means a turning or change of direction. But God gives it. That's what I want you to get. I'm not going to teach about repentance tonight, but God gives it. Now then, turn, please, to Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, notice it now, God gives repentance, he gives grace, and now look at it. For through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, get this now, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now there are four things here, and I'm going to add another in a few minutes, that God gives to us. Repentance is nothing, is not something you can work up. It's a gift from God. Faith is not something you can work up. It's a gift from God. Grace is not something that you can work up. It also is a gift of God. And so tonight, I'm going to talk to you in a few minutes about these verses. I hope you'll will not use our Bibles. I'm going to talk to you about the Bible, but I'll ask you to close your Bibles and let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we come now to the teaching of the Word of God. I believe tonight I'm going to put my finger on something that is very, very vital. And if it is, we ought to listen to it. It'll help our marriages, help our homes, help our lives. May we listen carefully. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, Father, we come to this vital subject tonight. Help me as I speak, please. I pray that you'd help some marriage to be salvaged. Love to be re-recognized, grace to be restored. I pray that tonight you'll help me to get some notes like I got last week, five different notes last week saying my marriage has been absolutely restored, rejuvenated, and in some cases salvaged. May it be true tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to listen carefully. It'll take your mind following me logically, line upon line, then precept upon precept. The Song of Solomon says, many waters cannot quench love. Neither can the floods drown it. I want to talk tonight about love. We have been so influenced by this world's concept of love, even God's people. We use the term in love. There's nothing like that in the Bible. I've fallen in love. I had nothing like that in the Bible. That's like, uh-oh, here I go, I've fallen. You may jump in love, but you won't fall in love. It's no stumbling. It's no accident. And I'll get to that in a few minutes. But we have been so affected and so colored by the world's concept of love. Now, what we've done, we've taken the world's philosophy and sort of dignified it and spiritualized it and added God's name to it. By the way, I've gotten more criticism because I've called Pat Boone's name behind this pulpit and his kind of Christianity. Pat Boone has come out now for acid rock. I saw his picture in a paper down south. He had no sleeves on, a leather jacket unbuttoned, and no undershirt on, just like one of the rock stars. He's come out openly for it. That's just more of this hippie kind of Christianity. Jerry Falwell has stumbled into it. You'd be surprised the music that is played. I'm talking about plain old hard rock music, and long-haired hippies sing it in his church and in his school. But we've been so influenced. And by the way, once you start being influenced by it, there's no stopping. I'm not surprised that Pat Boone's done what he's done. For years, he's been going to church on Sunday morning and nightclubs to sing on Sunday night, going to nightclubs to tell how much Jesus means to him. Jesus means that much to him. Get out of the nightclub. But we've been affected by this. The whole system of love in the world has affected us. I want to make tonight 8 statements about love, and then under the last statement I want to just read about 4, 5, 6 statements under that. I used to love him. I've heard that hundreds of times. I don't love her anymore. I've heard that over and over and over again. He has destroyed my love. Those are statements not made just on the movie house, in the movie houses, but they're made in a pastor's study, the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, and every other pastor's study of every godly servant of God in the world. He has destroyed my love. I used to love him. I don't love her anymore. Now listen very carefully as I explain to you what love is all about. Statement number 1, love is a gift of God. A gift of God. Now, don't misunderstand me. God does not give you love for a certain person. God gives you love. Just like somebody were to give you, let's say, a truckload of watermelon, and you could give it to anybody you chose to give it to. Love, the possession of love, is a gift from God. I taught you a while ago the same thing is true concerning faith. Faith is a gift of God. Now, God doesn't give you faith for a certain thing. God gives you faith, and you can decide where you invest that faith. God gives you grace, and you can decide where to invest that grace. God gives you repentance, and you can decide where to use that repentance. And God gives you love, and you can decide where you use that love. I said, number 1, love is a gift of God for distribution. You and I are conduits. God gives us love, and we decide where we take that love and where we point the conduit through which flows the love of God through us to somebody else. I said, number 1, love is a gift of God. Number 2, that gift is not for any particular person. Now, God may have a person in mind for you to love, but God does not give you love for a person. God gives you love. 1 John 4:7 is very plain. God is love, and he that loveth is of God. And God is the giver of love, and that love is not for any particular person. Statement number 3. We decide where to use that love. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3 says, God has given to severally faith to every man as he will. God gives every man faith. And by the way, I think God originally gives every man the same amount of faith. And so if God gives to Jack Scott some faith, Jack Scott may want to put his in the government. Ed Lapina may want to put his in insurance. And Ray Young may want to put his in God. But wherever Brother Woosley may want to put his in man or human institutions. But God has given to everybody a sense of faith, a measure of faith, and you may spend that faith as you please. God likewise has given to every man repentance, and you may spend that repentance as you please. And God likewise has given to every man grace, and you may spend that grace as you please. And for our subject tonight, God has given to every man love. And you may decide where you use that love. All right, I said number one, love is a gift of God. I said number two, the gift of love is not for any particular person. I said number three, we decide where to distribute or where to use that love. Number four, follow it carefully. God then, after he gives us that love, gives us suggestions of how to distribute that love. In fact, God says, here's what I want you to love. Now, you don't have to, but I'm commanding you to, and you're disobeying me if you don't. God says, for example, that love that I've given you, I want you husbands to give some to your wives. That's a command of God. Husbands, love your wives. Now, you don't have to love your wife, but if you do love your wife, you decided to love your wife. You did not all of a sudden, it didn't hit you in the back of the head, and all of a sudden, blah, 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 love her. That's worldly junk. That's garbage. You decide to love. You decide. God gives you this book, Supply of Love. And you may use it where you want to. But God commands you to where he wants you to use it. So God says, you husbands, I'm commanding you to love your wives. Now, the husband chooses whether or not to love his wife. God's given you this love. If you want to give it to your wife, okay. That's God's command. Then God comes along and says, wives, Titus 2:4, you give it to your husbands. You give love to your husbands. So God commands a husband to love his wife and a wife to love her husband. Now, you don't have to love your husband, but God has given you love, and he says, I want you to give some of that love to your husband. Then he comes along, Matthew 22:37, and says, you're supposed to love God. God says, I want that love back, given to me. I'm giving you this reservoir of love. I expect you to give some to your wife. I expect you wives to give some to your husband. And I expect you to love God. Now, once again, God gave to all of us this reservoir of love and is telling us now where to use it. Now, we do not have to use it there. We can go against the will of God if we want to. We can disobey God if we want to. But God said, it's the command of God. And by the way, God never gives a command without giving you the wherewithal to decide to obey it. I wonder how many times I've said that in these many, many years. If God commands you to do something, you can do it. And you can will to do it. You can choose to do it. So here is a big reservoir of love, and God says, okay, put the cup of your wife under there and turn on the faucet and put love in your wife. And then he says, put your husband under there and turn the faucet on and let your husband have some of the love that I've given you. Then it says, put God under there and love God. That's a command, to love God. Then he says, in Romans 13:9, love your neighbor. And in fact, many places it says that, but this one of them, love your neighbor. Now, who's your neighbor? The Bible teaches that in the story of the Good Samaritan. In fact, the entire story of the Good Samaritan is in response to the question, who then is my neighbor? And he says, anybody who's in trouble, in need, is your neighbor. Anybody that needs help is your neighbor. Here's the fellow beside the road, and he's been beaten and left half dead, and the thieves departed, and a priest comes by, and a Levite comes by, and they look at him, pass by, don't help him. Then a certain Samaritan comes by, goes where he is, pours in oil and wine, binds up his wounds, takes him to an inn, leaves him, pays the price, says, when I come again, I'll pay you again what I owe you. And God said, you're supposed to love your neighbor. So who's your neighbor? Somebody in trouble. Now then, that's God says, I'm giving you this reservoir of love. To you tonight, to you individually, God has given you a generous supply of love. Now, with your will, you will decide where you spend, as it were, that love. Now, God said, I got some suggestions. I want you husbands to love your wives.
I want you wives to love your husbands. I want all of you to love God. I want all of you to love your neighbor. Then God comes along and says in 1 John 4:7, I want you to love fellow Christians also. I want you to love one another. Now, you don't have to love one another, but God says, I want you to love one another. You can take that love if you want to and give it to some heathen world. But God said, I don't want that. I want you to give that love to your wife, your husband, your neighbor, your God, and also your fellow Christian. Then he comes along in Matthew 5:44 and says, love your enemies. Oh, boy, I wish he hadn't said that one. Love your enemies. Now, God is simply giving us a recipe or instructions of where to spend the reservoir of love that he gives us. I said, number one, love is a gift from God. I said, number two, this gift is not for any particular person. I said, number three, we decide where to use the love of God. Number four, he then tells us how he wants us to distribute that love. Number five, then you may choose whom you love. I came to First Baptist Church of Hammond 37 and a half years ago. God had given me love. I have the love of Christ. The Bible says the love of Christ is shed abroad in my heart. But I withheld that love from you for 16 months. I love my people in Texas. I wanted to go back to Texas. I did not give myself to you for 16 months. After 16 months, I decided to catch a plane. I flew that plane down to Dallas, Texas. I rented me a car. I drove out to Garland, Texas. I went to the pastor's house and asked him if I could borrow the keys to the auditorium. And the wee hours of the morning, I got on my knees behind the pulpit of the Miller Road Baptist Church in Garland, Texas, and said, tonight, dear God, I'm burying this church. And tonight, I'm giving my love to the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. Now, I'm saying, you can have the love of God and not give the love of God. You do it by your own choosing, and you can spend that love, just like Mother used to say to me, son, here's a quarter. You go down to the store and spend it anywhere you want to spend it. I could buy some candy, or I could buy an ice cream cone, or I could save it and put it in my piggy bank. I do what I wanted to. Now, God has given you love, and God says, here's how I want you to use it. I want you husbands to love your wives with it. I want you wives to love your husbands with it. I want you to love me with it. I want you to love your neighbor with it. I want you to love fellow Christians with it. I want you to love your enemy with it, but you may choose whom you love. You've heard this illustration before. I was performing the marriage ceremony of David Niemeyer and Tracy Vest. David, I always go to the waiting room over here outside my office and meet with the groom. I was over there with David Niemeyer, and I always ask this question. I said, when did you see her for the first time? And they tell me. Then I ask the question of, when did you meet her and get to know her for the first time? And they tell me the circumstances. And then I say, when did you think that you loved her for the first time? And then I say, when did you tell her you loved her for the first time? And then I said, when did you propose and tell me the circumstances? Now, the third question was, when did you think you might love her? And David Niemeyer, bless my soul, he said, on a certain date, I decided to love Tracy. See what I said? I decided to love Tracy. If you love her because she sends you, she may send you a long ways away. I'm sick and tired of Christian people acting like the heathen world. I really am. I'm just sick of it. All the way up to here. We're just like, boy, she sure is cute. I could go for her. You're an idiot. You're crazy. You know, you're about as spiritual as a centipede. I mean, it's tragic. Honest to goodness, tragic. How you have been influenced by the language and the lingo and the philosophy of a pagan world that doesn't even know anything about love. Love is an act of the will. David Niemeyer is right. He saw a young lady that he thought would be a good mother to his children. He saw a young lady that he thought would be a good wife to him. He saw a young lady that he admired tremendously, and he decided to love her. Before we own such language as, I flipped over him. You'll flip back. I've flipped over him. I've fallen head over heels in love with him. Garbage, poppycock, secular, worldly, cosmos, not Bible. God has given you the very love of God himself. His love has been a gift to you. And God said, now here, you can use it to anybody. You can give it anywhere you want to give it. He said, I want you to give it to your wives, your husbands, your neighbors, your fellow Christians, your enemies. But he said, you may choose. Now listen carefully to me. Don't miss this. If you don't love your husband, you can decide to right now. See what I said? If you don't love your husband, you can decide to right now. God has given you his own love. The love of deity is in your heart. And God said, you may decide to disperse it any way you will. If you say, I don't love my husband, it's your stubbornness. It's your rebellion against God because God commanded you to love your husband. He says, I don't love my wife anymore. In the first place, that's an impossible statement. That's like a heavenly devil or a sprinkling Baptist. It's not possible to not love your wife anymore. I'll get there after a while. But if you don't love your wife, you can love her immediately right now by deciding to. What do you say? She is just not a lovable person. That's not godly love. That's human love. When Jesus preached his first sermon in the home synagogue, he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because of the anointing to preach the gospel to the poor. And he went on to talk about unloving, unlovable people that he came to preach the gospel to. Now, that you can decide to love. And that decision is caused by your will and not by the external appeal of the object of your love. Now listen carefully to me. I just love her. She's so sweet. That's not any more real love than I'm a Catholic priest. Not at all. I just love him. He is so nice. That's not Bible love. What is Bible love? I just love him because I decided to love him. I chose to love him. I say it again. If you don't love your husband, you are rebelling against God Almighty and disobeying the direct command of God. And you can walk out the doors tonight obeying God and decide to love your husband. The same thing is true for your wife. Now listen carefully. I'll repeat the five statements I've made. Number one, love is a gift of God. Number two, that gift is not for any particular person. Number three, we decide where to use it. Number four, God has suggested to us how it is distributed. Love your wife, husbands, and love your husbands, wives, and love your wives, husbands. Love all your wives, husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, love your husbands, and love your neighbor. And love fellow Christians, and love your enemy, and love God. But you may choose whom you love. Now listen carefully to me. The person that you hate the most in this world, you can decide right now to love him and walk out those doors loving the person you hate the most. Love is an act of the will. God commands us to love, and God never commands us to do anything we cannot will to do or choose to do. Now, some of you folks don't have the foggiest idea of what I'm talking about it because you've been swept up by this old secular, synthetic kind of love this world has. Now, number six, listen carefully. Once given, it cannot be retracted. Once given, it cannot be retracted. You see, love is a gift that God gave to you to give to someone else. God, you can't take back a gift or it's not a gift. So if God gives you a gift of love, then you have the love of God. God will not take it back. And once you decide to love somebody, you have given to them the gift of your love, and it cannot be retrieved. Our text said, many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. But that isn't all. 1 Corinthians 13:8, and you get a hunk of this. 1 Corinthians 13:8 said, love never faileth. Well, I used to love her, then you still do. He's destroyed my love, then you didn't love him. You can't destroy love. Love never faileth. Many waters and floods cannot destroy love. Number 7, follow me carefully. That means if you ever loved him, you still do. Now you may not know it. You may not can tell it. I'll talk about that in a minute. But if you ever loved him, you still do. If you ever loved her, you still do. Now, what I like to do, I like to take some of you backslidden people sitting here tonight, some of you in the choir, some are deacons, some are Sunday school teachers, some go visiting, some belong to the foster club, some belong to the fisherman's club, some teach at Howells Anderson College in our schools, and some are students. I like to take some of you backsliders tonight that talk that kind of language and say, you think I could ever love my husband again? Yeah, you can love me right now again. I get to where I want to kick folks out of my office. They come in there with that kind of heathen, pagan garbage. I say it again. If love is a gift is not a contract or a bargain. It is an unretrievable something that has been awarded to the object. So, if you don't love, follow me, if you don't love him, then you can decide to. If you ever did, you still do. And you're commanded to decide to. See, you've been watching too much Oprah. You've been watching too many soap operas. You've been reading too many love stories and love novels. You say, you against love story? No, try John 3. That's a wonderful love story. You've been reading too many of these dumb love stories. Love at first sight. That's hogwash. Love at first decision. I decided, said David. I decided to love Tracy. I decided to love Tracy. Now, love never faileth. Now, some of you folks have been coming to my office saying, well, my husband has destroyed all my love. All you need to do is get on your knees at this altar and get right with God and realize if you ever loved him, it's not destroyed. It's still there. And if you never loved him, you're commanded to start. This means if you ever loved him, you still do. If you ever loved her, you still do. If you don't, you can decide to, and you're commanded to decide to. Now follow me carefully. Then what happened to that love? You're sincere when you say, I don't love her anymore. Now what you mean is, I don't tingle anymore. What you mean is, she doesn't treat me right anymore. What you mean is, I don't feel sensuous toward her anymore. What you mean is, she doesn't turn me on anymore. But that's worldly talk. That's not Bible talk. What is it then? You say, Brother Howells, I don't love her anymore. What really is it? Part number one, love may be lessened. 1 Thessalonians 3:12. Love may be lessened, but love cannot be retrieved. And just as sure as love may be lessened, if you say, Brother Howells, pray that I'll love my husband more. Don't have to. You just do it. A long time ago, I quit praying for folks to do things that they can do without prayer. A fellow walked down the aisle years ago when I was a kid preacher, and all of a sudden it hit me. He said, pray that I give up cigarettes. I said, I won't do it. Well, he said, why? I said, because the Bible said, my people are called by my name. shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. That's your job. I'm not going to bother God to ask you to give up cigarettes. You can do it right now yourself if you decide to. And whenever you decide to love your wife, you will. You decide to love your husband, you will. If you don't decide, you're in direct disobedience to God Almighty. And it may be lessened, but you can increase it according to how open you want to make the faucet. Matthew 24:12 says, love may grow cold, but it's still there. It says, the love of many shall wax cold. Love may grow cold, but it's still there. It's not taken away, but you may choose to warm it. It's up to you. Ladies and gentlemen, if circumstances determine how you feel about your spouse, then you don't love your spouse. If her behavior or his behavior determines how you your love for your spouse, you don't love your spouse. Love is a gift that's unconditional, that cannot be retrieved. Many waters cannot drown it. Floods cannot destroy it. And love never faileth. 1 John 4:17 says it can be perfected. What does that mean? That love that you have can be matured. But the love is always there. It may grow cold. It may lessen. It may be perfected or less perfected. It's up to you. It's all up to the will. It may grow, Ephesians 4:15. It may dim. It may blur. It may darken. It may be covered. But that's not the condition of the love. That's the condition of the view. It's your sight that's a problem. It's your spiritual discernment that's a problem. That love is still there. Now you listen carefully to me. I could name a dozen couples here right now. I won't, of course, but I could. That need to listen to what I'm saying right now desperately. And as sure as I can name a dozen couples, I promise you there are many, many other couples in this room tonight who need to realize that if you don't love your wife, it's because you are rebellious against God Almighty. Well, she doesn't treat me right anymore. If you love her dependent upon her treatment of you, that's worldly love. That's not God's love. That's phileo. That's not agape. There are couples tonight in this room that you say, well, we need to renew our love. No, you don't. You got your love. You need to re-recognize your love that's there already. Let me review and I'll close. Love is a gift of God. Now, I wish you college students would hear me. Listen to me, Kat. Some of you guys are going to wreck your lives. And here's why you're going to do it. You're going to think that her soft-looking face and her pretty nose and her eyes that are so beautiful are reason to love her. What you better do, listen to me, what you better do is you better find somebody that you'd like to be the mother of your children. And you better find somebody that you would like to be with when she's twice the size she is now. And you better find somebody that you'd like to spend the rest of your life with when that nose gets out of shape and everything else gets out of shape. You better find somebody whose personality you like, whose character you like, and then you look at somebody and say, that's the kind of person that I believe that I'd like to spend my life with. Get some real ugly picture and put it over her face. Get her picture. And then put an ugly one over the face. Would you still love her? I'm talking about and I hate to even bring this up, but I've got to. I'm talking about a lady whose husband's a painter, who's up on a scaffold 20 feet high and falls off and is paralyzed from here down. There's no way that that physical love perhaps can be enjoyed. But she pushes that wheelchair. And she'll stick by him. You watch it. She'll stick by him till she or he breathes their last breath. And once you find somebody that you think would be a good mother to your children, and somebody that you'd like for your son to marry, that type, until you find somebody like that, just don't decide to love anybody. But when you do find somebody like that, then you weigh it very carefully and ask God to control your mind, as I mentioned in a sermon not long ago, and you decide to love that person. I feel like I'm talking in the unknown tongue tonight. I really do. Because hardly anybody, saved, lost, Southern Baptist, Catholic, fundamentalist, hardly anybody understands what I'm talking about. I said, number one, love is a gift of God. I said, number two, that gift is not for any particular person. I said, number three, we decide where to distribute that love. I said, number four, God then recommends to us and commands us how we are to distribute that love. Which means I can love my wife, you can love your wife, you can love your husband, you can love your neighbor, you can love your fellow Christian, and you can love your enemy because God said to. Number five, you may choose whom you love. God gives you a reservoir of faith, you can choose whom you trust. God gives you a reservoir of repentance, you can choose from what you turn. God gives you a reservoir of grace, you can choose to whom you're graceful, gracious. And God gives you a reservoir of love, and you can choose whom you love. Number six, once given, it cannot be stopped. It cannot be retracted or retrieved. Number seven, this means if you ever loved her, you still do. If you ever loved him, you still do. If you don't love him, you can decide to now. If you don't love her, you can decide to now. And number eight, it may be lessened. It may grow cold. It may be perfected. It may grow. It may dim. It may blur. It may be darkened. Or it may be covered. But it will not die. Love never faileth. Love never faileth. Well, he just swept me off my feet. I'd marry the broom. That is pagan talk, garbage talk. Young ladies, listen to me. You young ladies at Hammond Baptist Schools and Howells Anderson College. Well, he is the answer to my dream. Quit dreaming and stay awake. I don't want to choose somebody while I'm asleep. Well, he just turns me on. Yeah. Bathsheba turned David on too. Delilah turned Samson on too. Young lady, you find, and I've asked this question time and time again, would you want him, your children, to have him for a father? Would you want your daughter to date somebody? I had a lady tell me not long ago, young lady. She said, I love him. I'm going to marry him. I said, would you want your daughter to date somebody like him? She said, Lord have mercy, no. But I love him. No, you don't love him. Satan has blinded your eyes to real love, and you've swallowed the hook, line, and sinker, the devil's substitute for love, attraction. You find somebody, young lady, that you think could be a good father to your children. And somebody you think could be good to you and somebody to whom you'd like to be good. And the kind of person that if your daughter came and said, can I date that person? You say, honey, that's the kind of boy I want you to date. And once you found that kind of guy, listen, he may weigh 285 or he may weigh 125. He may be built like a stone rock, or he may be built like a Coca-Cola bottle. He may have a bicep like a cantaloupe, or a bicep like a grape.
But whatever he is, when you find the kind of guy that you feel I'm talking about tonight, you decide to love him.
Brother Hiles, I'm not sure whether I love him or not.
Then you don't, because you haven't decided to. All real love is a result of the act of the will. Old story, and I close with it. Dr. Ms. Rice was driving down the street, back seat of the car. I was in the front, the pastor was in the front, and they were in the back seat. She didn't know I heard her, but I did, back in the days when I could hear. I went to the doctor. He said I'd lost 30% of my hearing. At least that's what I think he said. But I heard him talking, and Mrs. John R. Rice said, she called him John R., John R., do you love me? She sort of snuggled over and let you know. And he said, yes, Lois, I love you. And she said, that's wonderful. I said, why do you love me? He said, because the Bible says to. And she acted like a woman. She said, John R., that doesn't turn me on. He said, won't turn me off either. Did you hear the difference between a barking dog at the back door and a barking woman at the front door? The dog quits barking to let him in. Shall we stand, please?